Welcome to our 30th anniversary commemoration services today. We're glad that you all could be here. Come right on in. Don't be shy. There's plenty of front row seats up here. You don't even have to pay extra for them. You can if you want, but... All right, I'd like to offer a word of prayer and start our meeting off that way this morning as we just express our dependence on the Lord for what He will do among us today. Let us pray. God and Father, You are the sovereign Lord of the universe. There is nothing that is outside of Your control or escapes Your notice. Today, Lord, we have set aside a special day that we might commemorate the mercy of God in the lives of the saints of Fellowship Bible Church, past and present. And we ask that today these services and these events will bring honor and glory to Your name and to that of our Savior, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that He will be magnified in the midst of the church, as is His due. It is due to Him by His right and title as the Son of God, as the Lord of all, as the head of the church. And Father, we pray that You'd help us to do this through the Spirit of God, who in each one of our hearts who are born again dwells there permanently as a down payment, as we were taught again this morning, as the earnest of our inheritance, to guide us, to teach us, to lead us, to convict of sin where necessary. And Father, I pray that You will then help us to worship You in spirit and in truth that way. Lord, I want to thank You for each person who is here today, each and every one. And Lord, we rejoice to see a number of people who haven't been here in quite some time. And Lord, thank You for bringing them to share fellowship with us and us with them this morning. We thank You for bringing Pastor and Mrs. Johnson and for all the rest that we would not be able to name individually now. But we thank You and pray that they will be blessed as well. Father, we look forward to Your goodness today. We thank You for that which You have given us already. And we don't want to be unmindful of that as well. Well, thank You. Help us to sing Your praises now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn first to hymn number 82. Hymn number 82. So if you would take your hymnals and join us by standing, I'm going to ask Dr. Yanga if he'll come and lead us, starting with hymn number 82.
Let's stand as we sing. Praise the Lord, the Almighty.
Draw.
to our next hymn together, hymn number 52. To God be the glory. Hymn number 52.
Had a busy week this week. Started on Sunday with our meetings, and then we had an opportunity to go to be with Tom and Barb McParlin and Luke at their home, and many of you enjoyed that opportunity. We certainly did as well, and thank them for their hospitality and doing that. And then Monday through Friday, 5 days, we had our vacation Bible school in the morning, and so we were very busy around here. Very good kind of busy. We had at various points throughout the week 23 children, over half of whom do not belong to the church. So we had a lot of good contacts that way. And so we're also thankful for that. Want to just say a word of thanks to our adult and teen volunteers who helped, and for all the rest. And we couldn't name them all by name now, but we are thankful indeed for those, and those who brought their children. And nieces and nephews, thank you, and all that. We are just very grateful for all of that as well. I couldn't forget the people that brought the snacks, too. They did a helpful thing for us. The kids very much enjoyed that snack mid-morning. But if you would, pray with us about the follow-up with that ministry, because there are a number of families that we have reached that way. And we're concerned mainly about salvation of souls, obviously, and seeing them come to faith in Christ. So we look forward to seeing what the Lord will do through those seeds that have been already planted. I just want to make sure that you know today that you are invited to our kind of picnic, although As you can see maybe from the tables in here, we've decided that probably the most of us will be more comfortable in the air conditioning than in the blazing heat outside. I don't know what it's going to reach today, but if you want to go outside, don't feel like we're holding you back. We can take a couple tables out there and enjoy the shade and all of that, but we will, most of us, probably be inside. We do need a couple of gentlemen probably to man the grills and cook up some hot dogs and hamburgers. And let me tell you, as far as the meat is concerned, there is plenty. There is 45 pounds of hamburger, is that right? And 30 pounds of hot dogs, is that right? So the divide that up, so it's a couple pounds a person maybe, I don't know. We didn't promise that this was a weight loss program today. And I trust that many of you brought other side dishes to pass as well with us. So we look forward to that. Right after this service, if you didn't bring anything but a hungry stomach, that's all you need. And if there's more people than food, we'll rectify that situation right away and go run out and get some more. So please join us for that as well. As far as other announcements, let me see. We're going to be back here this evening at our normal time of 6 o'clock. And I want to encourage you to be out for that. We've planned to have Pastor Johnson again speak with us. If you were here in the Sunday school hour, he gave us a brief overview of the book of Romans, and it was excellent. And we're looking forward to what the Lord will use him to minister to us today, the rest of the day as well. I'll let you look at the Wednesday and Saturday activities there. Fifth Sunday, of course, coming up. We like to have an evangelistic emphasis, especially on Sunday morning. On those fifth Sundays, and then Sunday evening, we're going to be here, but it's a half an hour later than normal, 6:30, and that's going to be for our Singspiration with Hiawatha Bible Church, and they're coming down this way this time. Our responsibility there is to bring the finger food, sandwiches, chips, and that sort of thing, and they're going to bring the desserts, right? Visiting church brings the desserts, I guess, is how the rule is working out here. Also, I wanted to just make mention of this. I think we've gotten our camp forms out to all of our teenagers, but each one should have gotten a letter. Each one that's going to camp should have gotten a letter that looks something like this. That's the right one. With some other pages attached to it that tell about how you have progressed on the scholarship program. And the scholarship program has three components. One was ministering at Vacation Bible School. Another is memory verses, and the third is attendance. And so we've tried to put on there, if you want to achieve a full scholarship, here's what you yet have to do in order to get that. So take note of that and keep up that hard work. We've been glad to see the memory verses and attendance and all. And some of our folks are getting pretty close. I think Emma has earned the large majority of her scholarship already by those activities that she has done. And I think we've given out, if I remember, the spreadsheet told me almost $1,100 of scholarship toward the camp. There's still a lot to go. And by the way, if you want to contribute towards that $1,100, you feel free just to put a little extra in the offering plate. We wouldn't refuse that. And that'll help our kids go to camp. So that's August 1st through 6th. So you have something, brother? Okay, all right. So that's camp. Anyway, I think I am done. So Tom McParland, please. Okay, all right. There are two serving bowls in the back that were left at the McParland's home last week. And also I might add, we're getting quite a stack of casserole dishes in the kitchen, and I take it they don't all belong to the church corporately. So some individuals are missing those out there. If you want to take a look and see, then you can help us out with that as well. Yes, that's right. I do have one other announcement I can make now. It's not really an announcement since most of you know, but Mark and Rebecca's last Sunday is today for 52 weeks. We expect you back here in 52, no more. Well, maybe 53 we'll give them. But they are going down to Georgia for Mark's training. He's doing a fellowship in shoulder surgery and such. And so take note of that and please greet them today. They plan to be here all day. And so the next time after today that many of you will see little John, He will not be laying there on his father's shoulder. He'll probably be toddling around here, getting into everything, which will be great to see. That'll be excellent. Thank you, Susan, for that reminder. Okay. I think that's all for the announcements, unless I've forgotten something, gentlemen. In the back, reminders for me? Okay. Wonderful. Well, let me ask the men if they'll come forward and take up the offering then this morning for the Lord's work here and abroad. Looks like we have three piano experts coming up here. This ought to be interesting. Done here, and I don't know how long, if ever. That's wonderful ministry. Brother Mark Mayer, are you on praying ground this morning? Could I ask you to pray and give thanks for the offering, since we won't hear much from you here in the future weeks? I trust you have your Bible with you this morning, or were able to pick one up on your way in from the table back there. And if so, would you turn it to 1 Kings chapter 8 this morning? I'll be reading two selections, two short sections of 1 Kings 8 with a view toward our commemoration service this morning. If you've been with us for any length of time, you know that Old Testament interpretation is fraught with pitfalls for those that are not careful. And I will be reading two sections and omitting a large section in the middle of the chapter which relates much to the nation of Israel in terms of its covenant promises and curses, which don't apply directly to the church, although they obviously have application. But starting in verse 22 of 1 Kings 8, the Bible says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven, and said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all of their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built." And then if you would drop down to verse 54. Solomon is offering prayer here at the dedication of the temple, you'll recall. He comes now to the benediction of his prayer in verse 54. "And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments, as at this day." Amen. Look to the Lord again with me in prayer. Father, what Solomon prayed is still so true today, that there has not failed one word of your promise, neither to the nation of Israel, neither to us, those who are believers in Christ Jesus. And Father, we rejoice that we have the promise of Hebrews chapter 13 that you will not leave us nor forsake us, that we do not have a conditional type of covenant like the nation of Israel did under Moses, in which obedience would lead to blessing and disobedience ultimately being cut off from covenant blessing. We thank you, Father, that you will not cast us off, neither when we stumble and fall, neither in time of old age, neither at any time at all. Father, we thank you that you have seen to it to sustain and protect your work here at Fellowship Bible Church. Lord, publicly we want to join together all of those of us that are here today and many that cannot come to be with us this day, to join together and say thank you, O Lord, with just feeble words, words that cannot repay the grace and the mercy that you have bestowed upon us abundantly. Father, we are grateful. And Lord, whatever this church is, you have allowed it to be and made it to be thus. But Lord, we are aware also that you are not done with us until the Lord returns to rapture us, to change our vile bodies to be like his glorious one. And so while we are in these bodies, we still fall short of the glory of God in our practice, individually and corporately as well. And so we look forward that you would continue to use us and to mold us and conform us to your will, to the image of your Son, in whatever days you have given us remaining on this earth. We feel oft times like the rapture might happen any second now, with all of the world condition seemingly ripe as it is for the future things. But we know that this has been the expectant attitude of the church for centuries, because your coming is imminent. And Lord, I pray that you will find us faithful when you come, that we will not be ashamed before you at your coming, that we will be pure, that we will be upright, that we will be continuing to make progress along the road of holiness. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for all the people who have been involved in the ministry of this church from the first day until now. For our founding pastor, for Pastor Sachs, and for his wife and their labors tirelessly over the years, the first 25 of this assembly. And Lord, for all those that have assisted them, whether they be deacons or assistants or whatever, and for all who have participated in various ministries. Many have taught our children. Many have taught the adult Sunday school and other ministries, and many have reached out to their friends and neighbors and shared the gospel and done things they would not have done if they weren't believers and weren't attached to this church. And Lord, we thank you for all of that. We've hardly time to recount to you all the blessings that you've poured out, but we thank you for them. And now, Lord, may all of this redound to the glory of God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. For it's in the name of Christ we pray with thanksgiving this morning. Amen. I'm going to invite the ensemble to come and share with us their ministry of music now. We look forward to that as well.
take our songbooks together and stand and rise ourselves, sing our next song together, Christ is our Cornerstone, hymn number 21. It's to the melody of Rejoice, the Lord is King. Christ is our Cornerstone, hymn number 21. Let's stand as we sing, and the children can be dismissed at this time.
Take a couple of moments to share some remarks before Pastor Merritt Johnson comes to share the Word of God with us this morning. I want to say thanks to these folks who have provided such beautiful music today. Thank you for all of your effort. I know it's been a lot of training over the years, and you're putting that to glorifying use to our God. Well, first I want to say a word of thanks to our visitors that are here, especially for our commemoration service today. It's a great blessing that you're able to be here with us. To us, it's a great blessing. Some of you were, just a couple, were asking who in the world I am. I'm just some guy that shows up once in a while. The Lord has blessed me to be called as the pastor of this church back in 2006. I have been with the church since 1999. I actually became a member in early 2000. Actually, it goes a little back farther than that. In the spring of 1998, I came for the first Timothy training class that I took, which we've now kind of morphed into our Bible Institute. But that's when I started back in 1998. The church then was 17 years old, and now it's 30. So I've not quite been here for half of those years, and it's been a great blessing for me to be able to participate that way. So that's who I am and why I am here. We did invite a number of other people to come, although I did not make a huge push to pull other people away from their churches. They really do belong with those churches. Not that we can't have a special service now and then, but we're glad that you're here with us this morning. I did want to let you know, some have asked us, what about Pastor Sachs? Was he invited? And I can report that he was invited by two individuals who pressed home the invitation to him. He was unable to take us up on that invitation. He is now in Ohio, where his other home is, near to Jonathan, his son. He has recently had, or I think he recently had one procedure and may have some others. He has some cancer, skin cancer, and some of you did not know about that. So he did decline due to his recovery. I think he was afraid that it might look a little unsightly. In any case, that's where that's what's happened with them. So we did extend an invitation, and I'm pleased to report that we've had great relationship with them in the last months, and my wife and I and the children have been in their home on a number of occasions. I have more so than the others, but we shared a meal with them not too long ago on a Tuesday evening, and it was a great blessing to be able to do that, and it was just a wonderful time. So it's regrettable in that sense they couldn't be here today, but we are indeed thinking about them and grateful for their ministry. Well, I was thinking about two things, really, a look back and a look ahead. And we don't have time for an extensive history of Fellowship Bible Church here this morning. We want to get to the Word of God and remember that our purpose is really to worship the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, who's made all of this possible for us. But some of you are here who have been here since the Forsyth Middle School days, right? How many of you were there at Forsyth? Just slip up your hands. Look at that. That's great. Way back there, 1981, roughly speaking. Was the church there all the way until this building was purchased? 87. This building was dedicated in the spring of 1987, and the sign out there said it was dedicated to the glory of God and the edification of the saints. And that is still the case to this day. We've, of course, then the church purchased this, which was the former Edith Bader Elementary School from the Ann Arbor Public School System, when the school system was downsizing, put bids on three schools, and this was the one that we ended up with. And, of course, since then, we've really had, in a sense, you could say, three or four churches, or maybe more, with all the people that have come and gone and moved on. Of course, Ann Arbor is a little more transient than some places, I suppose, because of the student population and so on. And so really hundreds of people, if you look back in the guest books and all the contacts that we've had, just myself in the last year, I probably have 100 people that have been contacted, I'm guessing. But so it adds up quickly over time. The church has been able to support missions, and I think that's one of the hallmarks, or you could say kind of characteristics of Fellowship Bible Church, has been really an emphasis on missions, which makes sense since our founding pastor was a missionary himself and went back to South Africa many times, and we've supported missionaries across the world. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of support of your money has gone to support the Lord's work in missions, and I have no idea what that total actually is. The Lord knows, and we'll leave that with Him. That's been kind of one of the hallmarks of the church here in these last years. You know, when we talk about history and memorials and commemorations and things, I just wanted to share with you something that I thought was interesting. There was a historian named Perry Miller, and some of you have heard this before, who defines history this way. You know, when you think about history, you kind of think of a boring book that you have to read and memorize the dates and all that sort of thing, right? But he says this, history is a memorial of the mercies of God. Actually, interesting, I plan to say this, and you talked about the mercies of God this morning, which are reflected in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, which is mentioned then in Romans 12, 1 and 2. But here, history is a memorial of the mercies of God so that posterity may know them. What is them? The mercies of God. That posterity may know the mercies of God, remember the mercies of God, and hymn, that is H-Y-M-N, write songs to His praise for those mercies. And that's really what we want to reflect on today is God's great mercy and grace in giving us the opportunity to have a local assembly of believers in Ann Arbor, Michigan, really, you could say, a most unlikely place for a group of conservative, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians. Those are not popular terms in our town, obviously, not in most towns, actually, but God has allowed us to have this privilege, and we are very grateful indeed to Him. Well, that's looking back. What about looking ahead? Well, there's a lot of work to be done. In fact, as they say, the world is only one generation away from having no Christians left. We have to pass it on to those that come behind us, our young people, those that don't know Christ yet. And that's kind of the thing that I wanted to just cast out there for you to think about, is the that which God has yet for us. Many people have said, the best is yet to come. And that's true for those of us that are in Christ. As we say, the temporal benefits aren't always that great, but retirement is out of this world. God has indeed been great in providing that for us. But looking ahead for us as a ministry, we've recently started our Bible Institute. One of the purposes of that is to train up our people, but also to train men for ministry, women too, but especially men for pastoral and missionary ministry. And we can pray that that God will give us men who will be able to continue to go out as they have in the past from this church under the banner of that ministry and the training of it to take His name to the nations. We also want to continue our efforts in evangelism. I have told many people recently that we got some extra chairs in this auditorium, and I'd sure like to see every one of them filled some Sunday soon. And it's not outside of our reach because, well, it's not our reach. It's God's reach. And so God can use us to fill up the church, as they sang in VBS, fill it up to the door, right? And then go get some more. because if we have that problem where we have to break down the walls, we can do that. We'll just employ Mr. Scarfo a little more to add on or do whatever, build up or something, I don't know. But what a blessing that would be as well. And it's also been in my heart that we should not keep the blessing to ourselves. It would sure be nice if there could be in another town another Fellowship Bible Church that when we celebrate 60, they could celebrate 30, wouldn't it? Another town that needs a faithful gospel witness. And so I just cast that challenge out to you folks. It will cost, but it will be worth everything to minister for Christ as we look ahead. Well, all of that's in God's will, whatever He decides and whatever He wants. But my time is running short, and I just want to use another moment of our time to introduce Pastor Merritt Johnson. He was with the church back in the summer of 1981, was a missionary with WEF, and has been at Yankee Springs Bible Church in Middleville, near to Grand Rapids, we'll say. And we're just thankful for his ministry. He and I call back and forth once in a while. I remember visiting him at the VA hospital when he had some surgery. And the Lord has brought him marvelously through that incident in his life as well. When he calls, we always greet each other the same way. I'm the younger bishop of Ann Arbor. A bishop, you know, that's what I am. We joke because we understand that pastors and bishops are the same, and elders as well. And so he has become affectionately known to me as the elder bishop, which is a title of respect, and I do respect our brother, his ministry, and he's been a great encouragement as well. When there are a few tough times, I can ring up the phone and say, "Hey, brother, give me some encouragement," and he has. So that's good, and we look forward to his message from the Word of God this morning. Brother, come. I'll give this pulpit over to you.
He's taller than I am.
You take as much time as you want, okay?
Oh, good.
We'll just bring the food in.
Okay, all right. Very good. Very good. 1958, June. I've been out of Bible school a whole month, was it, Mother? June? Yeah. Been out a whole month. And we took our first church. And the Lord was gracious and the people were kind. And 50, how many? 55 plus, I don't know. But I wouldn't trade the years that we've had and the opportunities that God has given us over these years, gracious and kind and patient with a dumb, hard-headed Norwegian, and all our stumblings and that. But he has allowed us the privilege of being able to handle the most precious thing we've got in this world, and that's his word, and to understand the reality of that. This message is not a new one. To you it is, but I was privileged to speak at that first church on its 65th anniversary. So you understand, I wasn't there when it started. But we had the privilege of ministering. And as I talked with Pastor, I gave him the title, Standing Strong Today. Let's pray. Father, you have told us to therefore stand, having done all, to stand. And may we, through the counsel of your word and the teaching of the Spirit of God, help us to grasp not only this principle, but responsibility. And we look to you by your Spirit to teach us anew, to challenge us, to strengthen us for that very purpose. We ask it all in our blessed Savior's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is the answer. It's the means by which we do stand strong. We ask ourselves the question, what is meant by standing strong? How do we do that? When we think of our physical bodies and being strong, doctors and nutritionists try to tell us to eat properly, balanced meals, plenty of exercise, and, not too much fat. Be careful with the wrong carbs. What else? The only problem is that we will probably outlive our Social Security in retirement. So, God does have a formula for us, though, to begin for the believer for standing strong. And he desires this to be done every day. And in this respect, it is not only personal, but collective, individually, and the church. Because as individuals, we as individuals are, so goes the church, if we can grasp that principle. So we'd like to look at some a biblical program, step by step, in the matter of standing strong. Step one, understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We read to you this morning, Romans 8:9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And recognizing again, the very moment we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ, what? Died for our sins according to Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That death, burial, and resurrection that is accomplished for our behalf. 1 John chapter 1:12-13. Where it speaks about being born again into the family of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is a spiritual birth. We're talking with a gentleman here the only part of the week. And nice folk, gentle folk, older folk. But he had to impress upon my mind his viewpoint, that he believed the Ten Commandments. If we lived by the Ten Commandments and we maintain that, then that's the way he wants to live his life. Except it doesn't give salvation. That only comes through Jesus Christ. We sought to try and impress him with the Word of God, but that was stuck in mind. He lived by that all his life, and he's probably about 87, something like that. And only the Spirit of God can change his heart, change his mind, that it's Christ, not our works, that accomplish our salvation. And so, recognizing this principle there, the Holy Spirit takes up his residence within us. As a result of this, we have eternal life. And always, always, always keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is the energizer of the Christian life. You cannot do it on your own. We have a lot of desires and we have a lot of teaching and preaching out there. You got to go do this and you got to do that and you got to do some other things. But without the Spirit of God, it doesn't work. It doesn't count. It's meaningless. Because He is the energizer in the believer's life. He lives within us, and He is Christ, who is our life. The Spirit of God represents Christ within us, and He is the energizer for us. So, for step one to be active or effective, the Holy Spirit must be in control of our lives. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit." Galatians 5:16 tells us, "Walk by means of the Spirit." We're going to talk more about that tonight. But the point is that we see this very principle. We take children and we lead them to the Lord and we say, "Now love Jesus." And yes, we do that. But do you know the only way we can love Jesus is because the Spirit of God is in control. And to recognize that reality, every once in a while I flip through the channels just to see how goofy some of these guys are. Pardon me the expression. But and you can pick them up. One guy I picked up, the way you're going to be successful is you have this seed book, and if you start giving me money, ever watch that guy? Man, he's a salesman. He talks nothing about the gospel. He's a charlatan. The Spirit of God is not in that. And there are many out there, and they make a lot of noise, and it's exuberant, and all of this. Forgive me, but this comes to mind because it was in the same category. And I happened to be checking on one, and this gentleman was kind of rotundish. And all of a sudden, he moved over in front of a group of people, and he said, and they said, "Nonsense." But they were exuberant. He was puffing, and they were exuberant. No, it's the Spirit of God. We need to drive home to our minds an understanding. We are to walk by means of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus in the upper room, do you remember when he's talking to the disciples up there? It's given to us in John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 7. He tells them how that the Holy Spirit was with them, but shall be in them. That's after his resurrection. Acts chapter 2, it happened. And the Spirit of God is the moving, convicting, energizing force in the believers and the church. It will not succeed by God's standards. And that's what we have to keep in mind in respect to this. The Spirit of God would be in them. Paul warned the believers in Ephesians, in Ephesus and in Thessalonica. Two things. Don't grieve the Spirit. don't quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit when we refuse to do what He tells us to do. We quench the Spirit when we do. We quench the Spirit when He wants to do something and we don't do it. You see the difference between? We grieve or quench the Spirit when we're disobedient to Him. You say, what's the answer concerning this? The Spirit of God produces spirituality. We've heard people say, oh, they're a very spiritual person. And oftentimes it's because they're kind, they're loving, and I'm not disregarding, please understand me, the Spirit of God in them. But often we look on that outward aspect of an individual's life. It should show, by way of it. It should show. But it isn't the personality, it's the power of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. He produces that life. Christ, who is our life, the Spirit of God, is the representative of Jesus Christ, and He provides that for us, within us. Now, I'm jumping things, and I'm going to come back to this. We often confuse maturity with spirituality. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last few verses of that, and the first few verses of chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians, and Paul makes a differential there. He talks about he that is spiritual is discerning. And then he goes on to talk to those people at Corinth and says, but you know, some of you, you're not cutting it. He talked to them about the fact that they were not walking by means of the Spirit. They're walking as children because they're bickering and doing things that they ought not to do. And he said, you're carnal. And so there is that aspect that spirituality will produce maturity. Spirituality will produce maturity. Now, how do we deal, in this sense, with the Holy Spirit? Okay, step two. Are you with me? Being in the Word. The Holy Spirit would guide them. The Lord Jesus said this. The Lord and the Holy Spirit would guide them and us into all truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, that is alive, sharp, and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is critical. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's by the Word. How many have read Psalm 119 lately? Read in it? You ought to do it once a month. In the opening 9 verses, you have 9 different descriptions of the Word of God. 9 different descriptions. And you can go through and check those verses that use those different ones, and each one has an extended meaning. But what does it say there? 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a walk, a light to my pathway. That's what the Word of God is. And how vital is this? Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. The word of God is critical. And as such, right after that, verse 11, kids are supposed to be given this in Bible school sometimes, but it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Standing strong, the Spirit of God is the energizer within us. The Word of God is the food that the Spirit of God uses to support, to teach, to build up the believer, to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. It is the indispensable word or food for the soul, the life of a believer. You cannot succeed. You cannot prosper if you're not in the Word of God every day. Every day. Let me stop here for a minute and go back. In the matter of the Spirit of God, I'll never forget when the simplicity of this text hit this old hard head. 1 John 1:9. Can you quote it? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from ALL, all unrighteousness. The word confess there, Pastor, in the Greek, homologeo, means to say the same thing, to agree with God. And 1 John 1, 9 says, we take sides with God against ourselves to say, I lied, I stole, I was bitter, I was jealous, or whatever it was. That's confession. It didn't say, oh, God, forgive me. It's saying, God, I sinned. And this is how I sinned. This is what I did. And it only takes that much to break that fellowship. It may be a thought. It may be an attitude that is contrary to, that affects the Spirit of God. And boy, that's when we want to act right then. And say, God, that's sin. I accept. And that's a critical thing. We confess it, He forgives it, and we accept it by faith. To keep that principle in mind. We confess, He forgives, and we accept it. We accept that we are cleansed. And that's the function of the Spirit, one of the functions within us in this respect. That's step 1, 2. Step 3. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear the Word, it builds up our faith. That means the dependence. Remember Hebrews 6:11 or 11:6? Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. We stand strong by maintaining this relationship, this fellowship, letting the Spirit of God energize and guide. We come to that place of allowing these things to work within us. We get into the Word. We appropriate that Word, those truths, by faith. We recognize that walk speaks of our daily life. And as such, we are not to walk by sight, 1 Corinthians 5:17. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It isn't some experience. It isn't seeing some individual. It's by faith in the Word. It's by faith in the Spirit of God energizing and doing His work. Paul wrote to Timothy, step number 4. He said to Timothy, sound doctrine. That's not a popular word in churches around the country today. They want fun, they want exercises, they want appealing. But they don't want sound doctrine. Say, sound doctrine, doctrine, that divides people. Yes, that's what it's supposed to do. It separates the chaff from the wheat. It gives a foundation by which we stand on. And so, 2 Timothy 3:16. We know it, don't we? All Scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the child of God, may be completely furnished unto all good work, which is ordained that we should walk in them. So that we have this reality. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you follow along with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 2 through 4. Now remember, Timothy was that young preacher that Paul raised up, or not Paul used, and led him out, taught him, and sent him back to the church of Ephesus. And he says, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but rather their own lust, but after their own lust, shall heap to their heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. We have in our state, no, I have to be careful in this, but have you ever heard of Willow Creek? Ever heard of Willow Creek? Some of you have. Bill Hybel, pastor there, they run about between 10 and 15,000 on a Sunday. And we had friends of ours, I've never been there, but we had some visitors that went came to visit us, and they thought they would attend there. And so they went and visited one Sunday. And they, in their words, they were amazed at Cadillac limousines and that were pulling up in front of the church and driving out in the parking lot. So they went and sat down, and you know, I appreciate that music. This was fantastic, Pastor. It really was. I've been where it's been bang, bang, and a drum. No, that's great. This is great stuff, and appreciate it very much. But they had a lovely orchestra, and it was good. There was a drama that was put on the stage. They have a stage. They don't have a platform. And the house lights dimmed, and two stools were sitting on the stage. And a man walked out from one side and sat down. Another man walked out from the other, sat down. And the pastor interviewed that man. And that was the message for Sunday morning. That was a message. Dr. Hybel put a little ad in. Anybody better heard of World Magazine? Ever get that? Yeah. Okay. There was a little, up in the little corner of one of the pages, Willow Creek, our philosophy failed. It doesn't build believers. When we circumvent, and I don't want to be legalist and give the idea of legalistic, but when is the Lord's day? And why is it the Lord's day? It's the what day of the week? First day of the week. Why? The resurrection took place. And we have the history in the book of Acts of that's when believers gather together. The first day of the week. Is that legalism? No. We have an instruction for us. The illustration is there for us. That's where saints gather together to be fed, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be instructed. And yes, nothing wrong with presenting the gospel. But its main focus is on believers. Right, Pastor? Yeah. It's for believers primarily. And again, I say, don't mistaken. It doesn't mean that you don't present the Word of God so that somebody can understand it and believe. We've seen it happen. But they, well, no, we're going to do it on Thursday and Friday. But we just want to try and get people in. They have to answer to God like we do. And we want to follow. I want to follow God's Word. That's the only standard I've got. And I figure that's the only thing that we've got for the church. But here's the thing. Preach the Word. Because on the last day, they're going to turn away from truth. And that's what's happening in the church today. Time and time again. There are a lot of big churches around, but the book is absent. And we better remain faithful, because that's the only salvation we've got. And I use that in the term of keeping the church what it ought to be. Standing strong. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. He says, holding fast the faithful word as it hath been taught, that ye may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince gainsayers. It isn't our clever arguments, it's the word. Whether people accept it or not, that's their problem. But we, Paul tells Titus, we have to be faithful to the word to stand strong. Go with us to 2 John chapter 9, or verse 9, pardon me. 2 John Well, let's begin verse 8. It says, look into yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever therefore transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I just read an article here the other day. And we are familiar with different denominations and different churches. And some of the groups have a more orthodox attitude toward the word. And this one particular group, and I'm not going to mention it, except that it was one of the reform groups. And some of the writings that were taken out of some of that which is being taught in their universities is that, well, we're not sure anymore if salvation is eternal. What? That salvation is eternal? Yeah, you can lose it, they think. Well, where does it come? Where do you get that from? You don't get it from the book. We have to keep. If we use our nose to the grindstone or nose to the book, lest we get sidetracked, lest we lose our moorings. Step number 5. Practice. It's called execution, I guess. Carrying out the preceding 4 steps. Following through. Allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in and through us. Studying, to show ourselves approved unto God, being in the Word. Of exercising faith, walking by faith, depending upon the Lord, maintaining sound doctrine. How can we do this? One of the ways is by being involved or actions and issues around us and questioning them, listening carefully to what they're doing. This word is not used as much, but the philosophy is still there. It's called ecumenism, and you're familiar with it. Cooperating with individuals or organizations that do not follow sound doctrine. There are groups that, as we said, decry sound doctrine as divisive, but, and as we said, it's right, because that's what it's supposed to do. It divides truth from error. And as such, we are responsible, and this is what we're supposed to do if we're obedient to the Word, to follow the line of sound doctrine. It will keep us strong. There are trends that are moving today in the churches. There's an organization up in New England called the Barna Group. Anybody ever heard of it? Yeah. And they are going to religious organizations, and they are telling them if they use certain marketing techniques or advertising, that your church will grow. It works. The problem is, it isn't the Word. It isn't the Word. And to see this aspect, church growth movements, and they're part of that, using these marketing methods to appeal, we say the world, but what really is it, is to the old sin nature, to the flesh. And that's not our business. It's just to be faithful to God. We have the seeker friendlies. Needs oriented. Well, we're going to meet people's needs. What's the basic need that people have today? One thing. Jesus Christ. They need the gospel. Now, do we ignore somebody who is, you know, maybe they're down and out or they have problems? No, no. But that's not the issue. The issue is reaching them where they need most, that determines their eternal destiny. These things come along and they neglect the spiritual altogether. I don't mean to pick on him. I remember back in the early days when I was a kid in high school and later on after that, Billy Graham was in his early days. He was the evangelist for fundamentalists. But he began to move away. And here I saw an interview, again, about maybe 2 years ago, something like that. And he was being interviewed by a large pastor of a large church out in California. And he said, the question was asked him, he said, "Well, I'm not sure hell is forever," in the interview. Where do we get that? It doesn't come from the Word. Now, I must say this quickly, that the Graham Evangelistic Association came out a couple of days later and made a public announcement. Please understand, Dr. Graham is an old man and his mind isn't working right. We still hold to that. Thank the Lord for that. And quick speaking. But these things, we are all familiar with the purpose-driven philosophy. And the differential in these things, where the scriptures are left to second place. The Spirit of God is relegated to some other place. And it's these policies and philosophies and these orienting to goals and all of this has taken His place. We've heard the statement, the church is only one generation away from disappearing. And this is the only answer that God gives to us. All these things that we just talked about have a common thread. They rely on worldly methods to accomplish spiritual objectives or goals. Satan is the god of this world. The Word of God is watered down. The Holy Spirit is left out. Only biblical principles accomplish those things that God wants done. These are the only guides that God gives to us and that will support us in keeping strong today. Let's pray. Our Father, these are not profound truths. They're simple ones, and yet they have a profound impact. And we ask, Father, that You might impress upon our minds, our hearts, our very wills, these principles that You simply set forth for us and that You've given to us. We thank You that the Spirit of God is within every believer and the potential is only limited by our limiting Him. May we come to appreciate who He is, the truth that He reveals to us, the walk of faith that comes to us through the Word, being faithful to You. Lord, touch our minds. We thank You for this body of believers. Work in their hearts and minds and wills to keep them, Father, strong for You. We ask this all in our Savior's name. Amen.